we were worshiping. God just was showing me some things, and he's dealing with me. He said, Dave, if you bring the truth is not always received. He said, the prophets of old, he said, that they weren't received in their own hometown. Many times the word was spoken over the people, and the people rejected it because they didn't like the message that was being brought forth. Don't be like that. You may not like the scripture. You may not like the message. The key is this. Search out the scriptures and find out if it's true or not. If it's true, then deal with it. If it's not, then let it go. But don't live on your past glory, because the Bible says that we're transformed from glory to glory, precept upon precept. We're being changed on a daily basis. The Bible tells us this, that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. In other words, faith didn't come because you listened to me. Faith is already there. But what the Word does, it's like a key in an automobile. It begins and gets the faith operating. All right, I'm going to show you. Faith didn't just happen. Faith isn't something you figure out somehow in your mind, somehow you get to that place. Faith is a gift from God. And that faith is moved and started, and it operates because of all of a sudden you infuse it with power from on high. That power is not just the Holy Spirit, but it's the Word of God. Both of them working in conjunction together produces and activates the faith that God had already given to you. So if we eliminate the Spirit or the Word, faith isn't operating to the fullness that it should operate in. It can't. Because it's operating outside the perimeter of what God set it to operate. And so we can't do it on our own. We can't do this thing. And many people are living this worldly system called, they're Christians and they're going through this world, but without the great promises of God manifested in their lives because they're not operating in faith. They know what the Word says, but they're not seeing the fullness of it come to pass in their lives. Now, I am in agreement with you, and we'll see this later on as we study into this, that faith does not mean instantaneous provision. You're going to find that it's faith is an ongoing process. Matter of fact, God uses faith to grow us up. We can't be like little children all the time. Yes, we're coming to him like little children. Little children trust in him. We lean on him. We put our full confidence in him, just like a little child to go to mom and dad and expect to get what they ask for. We should also. But that doesn't mean we continually operate as little children. If I don't get my way, I'm not going to do it. I want to have my way. And once we follow that path, sooner or later, what's going to happen is we're going to see that we've gone exactly away from where God wanted us to go. Do you remember what I told you many times? And it always pops up with me. It always comes back to me. He said, this is how my kingdom operates. First of all, he said what? He said, divine connection. He said, when there is that connection between you and God, the initial connection, and remember something, you've got to keep that connection open. Amen. Don't just assume that God's going to do it for you. It's you and God operating together that produces life. If you're going to sit there and say, well, God can do it, and you've got no part in this, you're never going to see any of it. We all have a part of our play. Remember what he just said in James. He said, faith without works is dead. Amen. So it's not operating. It's still there. It's still there, but it's not working. So once we understand that, and we got our part to play, and he's playing his part, and all of a sudden we see where two or more agree on any one thing, it'll come to pass, right? Who's going to come into agreement? You and God. Amen? But you got to come into agreement with what he said, not what you said. We're learning on Wednesday nights, and we saw Miles Monroe was doing a teaching on it. He said, if you want your prayers to be answered, you have to pray what God said, not what you want. What did God say? Remember what he said? He said, when you pray, pray my will. Amen? And what we don't do, and praise God. So I want to take you back. We're going to start, and you're probably going to think this is a weird place to start dealing with faith, but I want to take you all the way back to the beginning. Amen? Listen to this. In Isaiah 44:24 says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretch out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. God is saying, I created you, I formed you in the womb of your mother. That's awesome. You ever stop to think about that? We always think about our mother and father, and they conceived, and a child was born. But it's God himself who created you in the womb. Listen to Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget. God won't forget you. He said it in the scriptures. We read it all the time. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And he does say that. But he does it because he formed you in the womb. Listen to this one. Upon you I have leaned. Listen to this. The psalmist is writing. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. Think about that. Before he was born out of home, he was already leaning on God. He was putting his full confidence and trust in God before he came out of the womb. Did it make you stop to think here? You ever stop to think how important you are to God and how God formed you in the womb? We think to ourselves, wow, look what God has done. And how we can live our life continually in the worldly system, thinking the world is our oyster, thinking the world gives us everything we need for a good life, that the world has any compassion or thought about us in any way. And we become slave to the lender. And pretty soon we start owing people here, there, and everywhere. Why? And all of a sudden they become our God because we have to serve them. There's so many different things that go on in our lives that we ignore. But God, before you were born, had already established who you would be, what you would be. Did you know that? Let me read this to you. Listen, Galatians. Paul wrote, he said, when he who had set me apart before I was born. Paul was saying, God had already dealt with me before I was born, telling me what I was going to be doing. You're already, by God, did these things. Listen to this. Psalms 139. This is in the Amplified. Verse 13 will start. For you did form my inward parts. You did knit me together in my mother's womb. I will confess and praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful, for awful wonder of my birth. Wonderful are your works, and that my inner self knows right well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and curiously wrought, as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. How precious and weighty also are your thoughts of me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awoke, could I count to the end, I would still be with you. God has created us for specific purposes, according to his plan. When I said to you earlier, I said divine connection. The next step that happens is divine order. God wants to order our footsteps so that we're not caught by the enemy in his traps. We're not caught by the lust of the flesh. We're not caught by the feelings and emotions and up and down. He wants a steady walk with him in peace and trust and confidence that when you ask, you shall receive, because you ask according to his will with faith and no doubting, no questioning. I know he is my God. He formed me. He created me for such a purpose. That builds in me a faith that trusts if he formed me, he will keep me to the end. What I said to you earlier, Jesus said, Jesus showed that he is the author and finisher of our faith. That word finisher means perfecter. In other words, he perfects our lives when we walk by faith. He perfects it. He does it. It's Christ, God working in the will to do those things that please him. It's faith, trusting in him, that when he takes me down the path that I've got to go down, that he's taking me for purpose. Do you realize there's testing in your life that you don't like? And guess who allows it? God. God lets us be tested in things we don't like. Why? Anybody know why? The perfecting of our faith. When you start walking by faith, he said, rejoice. So we'll look at it later. But he said, what's going to happen is, as you're being perfected, he said, you will gain in patience. And when patience have its perfect work, you will lack nothing. What did he say? Through faith and patience. How do I get patience? By the trials that come our way. And we learn to endure, to go through it by faith. And until we learn that lesson, we keep going back over the same thing over and over and over. Amen? God will fulfill his purpose. He will perfect you. But know this, faith without works is dead. So don't just think because, well, I love God, God loves me. We were singing a song earlier. I love you. Yes. Yes. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do all I command. Amen? So don't let our mouth just say, I love you, without showing it. How? How do you show his love? By living by faith. I'm done. We can go home. Amen? I'm only kidding. You know better than that. All right. You ready? Where does faith come from? Hallelujah. He said it this way. I want to see where I want to get it here. Hallelujah. Romans 12. Go there. Romans 12. See, and know this. Well, you'll see in a minute here. Let's start in verse 1 because it's fun. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Until our minds renewed to truth, then we will not operate in faith. He said, a double-minded man shall never receive of the Lord. When we say one thing and do another, we're double-minded. Unless we walk by faith in a continuous fashion. Now look, we're going to fall, we're going to mess up, we're going to miss the mark, we're going to do all those things. But once you do that, recognize it and confess it and repent of it. God's faithful and just to forgive you. Notice God is faithful. So if we do what is faithful, God is faithful. But if you don't confess your sins before God, now what? Hallelujah. Let me go on. For I say, through the grace given to me, amen? For I say, through the grace given to me, Paul is saying, this isn't me. This is what God created me for, to bring you truth. This is grace. Grace is the ability to do what God wants us to do. Grace is there to overcome sin. Grace is there to keep us from falling back into the old nature. Grace is there to help us to walk in love towards one another. Grace is there to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. Grace is not there to enable us to do whatever we want to do. Amen? That is not what grace was given for. Grace was there, the unmerited favor of God, to enable us to be like Jesus here on earth. That's what grace was for. We couldn't do it on our own. Nobody here can. We all fall short of the glory of God. But by the grace of God, we can do all things through faith. Come on, by the grace of God through faith. We can do anything. There ain't anything you can't do. Amen? Don't ever say I can't. Say I don't want to. Amen? I don't want to, maybe. Yeah, that's truth. Being honest. God, I don't want to do it, but because of your mercy, I'm going to do it. Why? Because his mercy's new every morning, and guess what? I need his mercy every morning, or I couldn't walk the walk. I couldn't even touch him. But in the mercies of God, through the grace of God, by faith, we can do all things in Christ. Listen to what he says here. He said, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, anybody's listening, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Okay? In other words, don't put yourself up here. Very clearly, the word says, who can go up to the top of the mountain to be with God? Those who are of humble spirit, humble heart. In other words, people who don't look at themselves and say, well, look at me, I can do it, why can't you? You can't do it. God is doing it in you. All you have done is enabled him. Listen to me. Remember what I told you when I asked God, he said to me one day, he said, I'm going to send you great people. I said, who's great? And I went on and on for years. I asked him, who's great? I wouldn't think about it every day, but I'd ask him on. One morning I woke up, it was in East Greenbush. I woke up in the morning. As soon as my foot touched the ground, God said, greatness is not determined by what a man does, but greatness is determined by what a man allows God to do through them. You understand? That's what God is looking for. When Jesus came to this earth, all he was doing was allowing God to work through him to reveal who God is. This earth needs more today. Jesus on this earth, you are that person. You are that person. You are called to reveal the one true God to this world. That your sole purpose in life is to reveal God, to reveal Jesus to this world. How do you do that? By allowing him to work through you. It's not going out and throwing your pearls before swine. In other words, you just go out there and start blabbing away, telling them people got to go into hell and they got Jesus and all this. You're not doing that. You're walking by the Spirit, and as the Holy Spirit gives you the word to speak, you speak the word. When God says lay hands on him, you lay hands on him. When God says cast out that demon, you cast out that demon. It's costly to you because you lose friends, you lose family, you'll even lose people around you, Christians, other Christians. Because they will think you are prideful and arrogant. Because your sole purpose in life is to reveal God to this world. But without you, they will never see Jesus. There's people in your lives that you will come in contact with that other people won't. If God created you in his womb for a sole purpose, he put you where you are, he gave you the gifts and talents you have to be a light right where you're at. And if you're not that light, who will be? If you won't be that example, who will be? And that's what this is really all about. In the end of all of this stuff, when we go up, praise God, whenever God says, go get your bride, and we are taken up out of this earth, we're going to be taken up. And he said, blessed are those whom the Lord finds doing what he told them to do when he comes back. They're blessed. There's a blessing that comes with that. There's a blessing when you set your heart to obey God rather than obey man. There's something about it when all of a sudden you said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And let me tell you something, it's going to take faith to do that. You think it takes faith to move a mountain? It's easier to move a mountain than it is to move a person who don't want to hear the truth. You understand? We can get stubborn. Anybody ever get stubborn? Nobody? Just me? I'm not moved. Hey, I have set my heart to do this thing, and I'm going to do it. No matter the cost, no matter what it takes, I'm going to get this thing this way. I refuse to accept. I refuse to do. I refuse to go. I don't want to hear the truth. And that we do that. We all do that. Come on. We don't like something. Some things, what we think is when he said, you know, what did he say in the last days? He said, you know, they'll search out people who will tickle their ears with the messages to make them feel good. I'm going to tell you, the only thing that I know feels good is when you do what God tells you to do. Now you feel pretty good. Because I'm going to guarantee one thing, when you do it God's way, it'll be successful. You'll always see a positive result. Always. God's not going to send you out to fail. Never. Because he'll equip you, he'll prepare you, and he'll send you out with a heart filled with love, compassion, mercy, grace, all the things he's done for you, as the word of God says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, and you just go out there and you will never do a thing to harm someone purposely. Amen? Because your whole purpose is to give the example. The example of Jesus is love. I know Jesus walking the earth, and he would serve the people, he'd feed them, pray for them, lay hands on them, cast out demons, do all these wonderful things. And then when he said something wrong that they didn't like, they said, oh, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. It said many of them were disturbed by that. The saying was too hard for them. So they turned and walked away from him and walked with him no more. They were the ones who stood there and said, crucify him, crucify him. Why? Because they didn't like what he said. They killed the prophets because they didn't like what he said. And all they were doing was trying to bring him back to God in his ways, trying to show them what God said, not what they're saying. They were trying to show them. Why? Because then they could have entered into the promise of God here on earth, not waiting till you get it up there. Because there are promises that he has given us here in our lives. How many of you know one of the promises is that by his stripes you were healed? He said, if you pray and lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's a promise. If we're not seeing the promise, there's something missing. Not on God's part. Okay? Not on God's part. God never, if he sent his word, he said, I'll never come back void what I sent it for to accomplish. What did he say? He said, I sent my word to heal them. Right? Amen. So we look at these things. We examine these things. We look within our heart. We look within the word of God. Not me. Don't listen to me. Look at the word. Am I in the faith? Am I living my life by faith? Because he said, the just shall live by faith. Not any other way. You're not going to see God's promises without faith. You're not going to see it. It just doesn't happen that way. And the church has fallen away from the faith. They've fallen into every other thing out there. I remember one time God was speaking to me and he said, David, he said, my sheep know the voice of the pastor. They know the voice of the radio. They know the voice of the CD. They know the voice of the, at that time was tape, not CD. They know the voice of the one on the radio and on the TV. But he said, the problem is they don't know my voice. Amen. When he was talking about faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, he was saying those who hear my voice will not follow a stranger. But because we have tuned out what God is saying to us and tuned into what man is saying, we miss the promise of life here on this earth that God intended for us. Every aspect of it. When he talked about life, he said, I came to give them life and give it to them more abundantly. He's talking about Zoe. The Greek word is Zoe. Zoe encompasses every part of life, every single part of life. Physical, mental, and spiritual. Every part of life God intended us to have abundance in. But it doesn't work just because we want it. It works by faith. Putting full confidence and trust in what God said. Not what a man said. Again, I'm not asking you to believe me. I don't want you to look and say, oh, Pastor Dave said no. I want you in the end of all this thing, even if you don't like the message I bring, that you will go to the Word of God and say, I believe what the Bible tells me. That's what I want you to do. I want you to search out the Scriptures. I want you to be getting in there and saying, I am based, my faith is based on the rock. The rock is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. You can't say I believe in Jesus if you don't believe in the Word. Because he is the Word. Jesus is the Word. So we have to look to the Word to find our life. Because in here is life. Amen? Amen? Whether it's temporal or eternal. Both ways. Jesus said this way. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added on you. What? All the temporal needs will be taken care of. You don't have to run after this. Do you realize that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, that all their provision was made for them? They could eat from every tree of the garden. Do you know when they worked the garden, he said, tend the garden, that was, I can't even tell you how many thousands of miles that size of that garden was. You think they were in there cutting out the brush and cleaning up the trees and raking up the, you know, whatever? No. They had the power to speak as God spoke. He named all the animals. When we come into walking by faith, what happened? Let me back up a little bit. What happened? When they fell. In other words, all they did was disobey God. They disobeyed God. It wasn't what they ate. It wasn't that they disobeyed God. They believed the lie rather than the truth. They believed the lie rather than the truth. What happened? They were kicked out of the garden. Now read what happened to their lives. It was cursed. They had to work by the sweat of their brow. No longer could they expect God's provision. They had to work hard. They were now, at that point, they were actually starting to die. While they were in the garden and the glory of God was upon them, they were doing what God told them, they were never going to die. They were never physically going to die. They were meant to live forever. Amen? This is what happened. And all of a sudden a curse came on mankind. And all mankind's been cursed because of that fall. But Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from the curse. And he bought us in. Come on now. Sickness and disease was under the curse. Poverty was under the curse. All that stuff. What causes this to happen in our lives? Even in believers' lives. Disobedience. The same disobedience. We're still doing our own thing. God is saying, don't do that. We go ahead and do that. God says, love. We can't love. God says, forgive. We can't forgive. So what happens? We're under that curse still. We're still operating under that same cursed life. That's what God wants for us. That is not his plan for your life. When he formed you in the womb, he said everything he created was good. Your life was meant to be good, not a curse. But that operates only because faith is operating. Our confidence and trust is in God, in his word. We know who we are. We know that he created us for purpose. We know what our purpose is to glorify him here on earth, to be the light to those in darkness, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation, not only to the Jew, but to the Greek, to the Gentile. That's us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we look and we know. As he said in Romans 12:3, let me read again. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Where did the faith come from? God. When you were created, this is my faith. This is what I believe in. Now, you don't have to agree with me. I think every person that was ever born on this earth was given a measure of faith. Every person. Everyone. I think it's all there. I think it's laying dormant until somebody comes along and they speak a word of truth. A word of power. The word is the power that ignites the engine of faith that gets us moving. You're there. The word is spoken. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. What it doesn't mean is that, okay, faith came out of over there. Somebody spoke and all of a sudden faith came in. There go faith. No, I don't believe that. I believe you have that faith. And what the word does is ignite that faith and gets it motivated to the degree that you can get saved. Because you would not know the truth unless the truth was revealed to you. Man in his own capacity has no capacity to know the truth. I don't believe. I believe it has to be a work of God. But I think everybody's given that ability. And when the faith, when the word is spoken, the word of life is spoken, now choice is being made. You can choose to accept the truth or reject the truth. One brings life, one brings death. What do you do? How do you get it going? You confess it. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Amen? The word of God will ignite and produce and start activating that faith that's in us now. As we go along, that doesn't change, that scripture in Romans 10. It doesn't change. It still activates our faith. Some quicker, some slower. You ever notice you go to talk to somebody about the word of God and you tell them something and they just ignore you, don't want to listen to you, and then they walk away, but after a while, they start thinking about it? Or someone else will come up and say something to them? We don't know when or how. We just know what we're supposed to do. And when that word is being spoken, all of a sudden that thing starts working in them. And switches on that faith to say, yes, I believe. That's what we need to do. We can't stop there. You can't stop there. You can't get saved and say, that's enough. I'm done. I got saved. I don't have to do anything else. You have to keep feeding faith in order for the faith to stay strong. And it's not only staying strong that you want. You want to increase in the power of the faith. You don't need more faith. All you need is to use the little bit of faith that you have. The more you use that faith, the greater strength you have to believe God for greater things. Amen? Now listen, Daniel, what do you say in Daniel 11? Let me see if I can find it. Anybody know what Daniel 11 says? Daniel 11, 32, excuse me. Hallelujah. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God, in other words, the people who have an intimate relationship with God, not just knowing him intellectually, but you wake up in the morning and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do today? During the day, you think, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want? Is there anything I need to do that I'm not listening, I'm not hearing? I want to know what you would have me do right now. Because I know I got my plans to do, but I want to hear what your plans are for me. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll ask the Father anything in my name and he'll do it. That's an awesome statement. If you abide in me, that means you have a living relationship with him, an ongoing relationship with him, not just a Sunday morning or Wednesday or sometime you think about it, but all week long you're too busy to spend time. Spend time talking to him. Listening to him. Those who know their God, listen to what he says here, shall be strong and carry out great exploits. There's no greater exploit than to share the gospel with somebody and see him get saved. There's nothing better. You can have all the whole world, get one soul saved, because all eternity that soul will share eternity with you. The things of this world are going to pass away. Nothing's going to be left here by the end. All the stuff we strive for, all the things we fought for, all the things we worked hard to get, guess what? They're going to pass away. But that one soul will live on for eternity with you. Hallelujah. By faith, we learn to trust God. So he said, everyone was given a measure of faith. And in 1 Timothy 1, it says this, even though I was once a blasphemer and persecutor and violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying, this is who I was, but this is who I am now. That's who I was. This is who I am now. He said, at one time I was a blasphemer. One time I was a persecutor. I went out and persecuted the brethren. Amen? We examine ourselves as we look at the word. We examine ourselves. Paul said, I look back on this. He said, I didn't know it at the time, but now I know. How do I know it? Because God poured out onto me his love, his grace, his faith. God did this. And now I am not who I was. We shouldn't look the same. When we walk by faith and live by faith, we can't be the same. There's got to be some. You know, when we live by faith, there should be a recognition from others that we're living that way. Right? Well, I would think there would be. If God's word's changing us from precept upon precept, from glory to glory, if God's word changing, if we're being transformed in the image of his son, if we're living by faith, there has to be some kind of example to say I'm living by faith. That's why Paul said, how can you say, or James, he said, how can you say you have faith without works? Your works should show that you're living by faith. And remember this, the scriptures tell us very clearly that faith works by love. So we can't say we have faith and not walk in love. It doesn't work that way. We can't separate love from faith. No more so can we separate hope from faith. They're all interconnected. If we're not walking in love, then faith is not working. Getting quiet. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians 5. Look at verse 6. Well, let's start in verse 1 with work down. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. What's he talking about? When you think you can go back doing those religious activities, if you're going back to being a religious person, that is not going to get you saved. Amen? That's not going to work. Look at what he goes on to say. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. Listen, in other words, he's saying you've been separated from that relationship with Christ. You've become separated from the sacrifice of the cross that he did for you. You're no longer under that banner of love. Look what he goes on. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Our righteousness is by faith. Jesus took upon himself all our sins, all our iniquities, all our transgressions, and he gave us his righteousness. But that righteousness only comes to us. What's righteousness? Being in right standing with God. Look, being right standing with one another is very important. It's critical. Being right standing with God is more important. Because if you're not in right standing with God, then you're never going to see the fullness of his promise down here. And maybe not up there. Amen? Listen to this. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Without love, my friends, as I said before, love is what holds everything together. Love isn't just something we say. Love is who we are. We don't just say we love somebody. God is love. And if God is love, and we are adopted into the family, are we not supposed to be like our Father? Which is love. So we're not trying to love people. We are love. And just because we are who we are does not mean that people accept us for who we are. They're not always going to go, yay, you're so wonderful. They're not going to. When you have the perfume of Christ on you, everything that's evil hates it and kicks against it and fights against it. You don't have to do anything. You can just be who you are in Christ. And you will have adversity come your way just because the spirits of the Antichrist, which are evident throughout the world today, hate you. But that doesn't mean you stop walking in love. That doesn't stop you from walking as love. That you share with them the good news. You share with them the love of God. And if you see a way to help your enemy and you give him a glass of cold water, you do that. You be a blessing. You don't curse. You always bless people. You always speak life and love. Yeah, but you don't know what they said, what they did. It doesn't matter. What other people do should not affect us. We're here, but we're not here. We're in this world, but not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're ambassadors for Christ. Just like they did over there in Benghazi, they'll do to you here. He was an ambassador sent by the United States. And they killed him. Why? Why did they kill him? Because they represented America. Why will they kill you? Because you represent God and the kingdom of God. But that doesn't mean we change our actions. It doesn't mean we change our words. It doesn't mean we change who we are. We walk and live by faith in God, who will keep us until the day that Christ finishes his work in us and with us. We live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith in one Jesus Christ, to whom we belong, to whom we serve. Now, we can go on with our lives in this world. And God loves us and has given us such freedom of choice, of will, to do whatever we want, to go wherever we want, to say whatever we want, to be whatever we want. But if you truly want to experience a life of faith, a life that God intended for you, the abundant life that Jesus paid the price for you for, you're going to have to live by faith. It doesn't work any other way. Doesn't work any other way. I can remember when I was real young Christian, we started going to church at New Hope, our New Testament. Pastor Grant was pastoring. And I remember one day after service, I walked up to him, and I was just so upset. I mean, I was upset. And I really was. I was sitting there going, And he said, "What? What's going on?" I said, "I'm jealous." He said, "What do you mean you're jealous?" I said, "I'm jealous of you." And I think at this time, they still lived in a house that wasn't very nice in Sand Lake. Matter of fact, I can remember when the first time I went into their house, in the kitchen, there was a hole in the floor, and they had a pie plate over it to cover up the hole. The house was really in sad shape, really, really, you know. But here was two people, a husband and wife, who loved the Lord, were willing to serve him, had really nothing, but he loved them. And I remember walking up to him that day. I said, "I'm jealous." And he said, "What are you jealous about?" I said, "I'm jealous because you live by faith." My heart's desire, my one true desire in life, where God is concerned, is to live my life purely by faith. Faith in him, because I know if my faith is strong in him, my love for him will be strong. If my faith in him is strong, and my love for him will be strong, my hope is in him. And to me, that's the perfect life. That's the perfect life. Do I believe that God wants us to live a life down here that's good? Yeah. As a matter of fact, he tells us he'll give us the power to have good and godly life. I believe that to be true. But if I had a choice in my personal life, and that's for me alone, I won't speak for any other person in this world, I want to live by faith. I want to have full confidence and trust in God, His Son Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, and in the Word of God. Then when it's all said and done, when everything is finished, because sooner or later it is all going to be done, whether physically I go into the grave or he comes back in the rapture, however it is, I want to hear that one word: "Well done, good and faithful servant." That said, "You've been faithful with a little, I'll give you much." When he looked upon his son Jesus, he said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." If everybody else isn't pleased with me, I want him pleased with me. In the end, that's all I have. Much as I love my family down here and I love you guys, when it's all said and done, I stand before the Master alone. I'm not going to say to him, "Well, this one said this, and this one did that, and this one didn't do that, and this one over here didn't say that and do this." All that matters is I have pleased my Father, and I know the only thing that the Bible says pleases him: faith. Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith. You must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The more you seek after him, the more pleasure he has in you. The more pleasure he has in you, the more pleasure you'll have in him. Amen? It doesn't change. There is a life that's totally different than a lot of us live, including myself. I look at people like Smith Wigglesworth, and we talk about John G. Lake, and we talk about, you know, Amy McPherson, we talk about Catherine Coleman, and we talk about these people. They live fully, completely by faith. Everything. Their whole life was in pleasing him. Listen to Catherine Coleman sometimes when she talks about her relationship with the Holy Spirit. Oh, my, 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 my. She talked to him as if it was on person-to-person basis. It wasn't about know him or what the Holy Spirit and all that. She would talk to him as if he was standing right there as her closest friend. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is to wake up in the morning knowing that you're not alone in this battle. Knowing that you don't have to be afraid today. Knowing that you don't have to worry about whether you get this job done or get that job done. Knowing that you have God there as your helper. You have God there as your strength. You've got God there to give you peace and joy. You've got God there to help you through those days. You've got God there to order your footsteps, knowing that the enemy is going to set traps for you, but you're not going to go into them because God's going to keep you from them. What a way to live. What a way to live. And God has opened that for all of us. Every one of us in here. Every one of us. He has given us the opportunity. Well, I'm too old. No, you're not. I'm too young. No, you're not. I haven't lived life yet. I know. Until you get into God, that's the only life worth living. He'll let you live out here. You're going to have this and you're going to have that, what other people have. But I'm going to tell you what. When you have it with him, he's the one. And if somebody comes and steals from you, you give them your coat too. Because you don't care, because God will provide again for you. And whatever they steal from you, he'll return sevenfold. Living by faith is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And faith is not just words. It's deeds. Whether we like it or not. In the end of all things, you want to be able to say, Father, I live my life for you. For you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's close. We'll finish this next week. I'm not done yet.